The Worldwide Church of God, founded by the late Herbert W. Armstrong, has been classified by Orthodox Christians as a cult since its inception a little more than 50 years ago. Today, under the leadership of Joseph DeKotch, the church says it is changing some of its doctrines. My name is Bob Allen, and in the next half hour, James Walker of the Counter-Cult Ministry Watchman Fellowship and Dr. James Kennedy will review some of the apparent changes, assessing them from a biblical standpoint. We'll also talk with a high-ranking official of the Worldwide Church of God. Joining us first is James Walker, Texas State Director of Watchman Fellowship. James, welcome to Truths That Transform.
Thanks. Good to be here.
James, why do you think it is that many Christians believe that the Worldwide Church of God is a fundamentalist Christian church?
Well, when you see their television program, The World Tomorrow, or you see their magazine, The Plain Truth, unlike in earlier years, much of their distinctive doctrines is not put forth clearly on these programs. They're made to appeal to the Christian, to the conservative person who's looking for morals, looking for values, looking for Christian significance or biblical significance in today's headlines. And so a person can actually subscribe to the Plain Truth magazine for many months and not see anything that clues them into the real doctrines of the Worldwide Church. So it comes across as a pretty much a fundamental conservative Christian denomination, but its doctrines are anything but that.
Well, let's talk about some of the distinctive doctrines of the church and why, historically, the Worldwide Church of God has been considered a cult.
Well, they deny the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. When I use the term cult, I hope our listeners don't misunderstand me. I think that the people who are in the Worldwide Church of God are very nice, clean, moral people, very sincere. But because of their definition of God and their description of how a person has salvation, we cannot classify them with Orthodox Christianity. That's all I mean by the term. Some examples would include their denial of the historic doctrine of the Trinity that's been held by all of Orthodox Christianity from the New Testament times till today. They deny the personality of the Holy Spirit, saying that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but simply is a force like electricity or some kind of emanation from God, but not a person. They deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, saying that Christ rose only spiritually from the grave, and the body did not rise, and Jesus is no longer human. They deny salvation by grace, teaching that there are a number of works. Historically, the church has taught that there's a number of works that a person must do to earn their salvation, or to become, as Herbert W. Armstrong used to say, we believe in salvation by grace, but there are conditions that you must comply with, and some of those conditions would include baptism, keeping the Saturday Sabbath, paying a tithe, church membership in the Worldwide Church of God, attending certain annual feasts, and there's also certain dietary laws that must be kept. And so these are just some examples of denying the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith and teaching work salvation.
Now, apparently, in recent days, the Worldwide Church has been undergoing some change, some doctrinal review. And I know you've been in conversation with some members of the hierarchy. Tell me something of what you understand is going on in Pasadena right now.
Well, there are some very welcome changes taking place. The church has recently become softer on its doctrine of healing, teaching that it's actually okay for its members to go to a doctor. In times past, Worldwide members would die from very, very treatable diseases rather than going to a doctor, which they were taught was evil and wrong. We're welcoming some of these changes. There's their divorce and remarriage doctrine has been softened in recent years, and these are all things that we welcome, that it's getting to be not nearly as harsh as it used to be on its members, and we're thankful for this. Even some of the mainstay doctrines of the church, apparently, according to some of the spokesmen from Pasadena, are under review. And, you know, we're always happy when someone is willing to take another look at their doctrine and consider orthodoxy. But I don't think that's exactly what's taking place here. In my conversations with Michael Snyder, who's Director of Public Relations for the church in Pasadena, he said that they still do not believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. They still do not believe in the doctrine of the personality of the Holy Spirit. So even though there are improvements in some areas, and they're even talking more recently about grace, I don't think they're coming under the umbrella of Orthodox Christianity.
What are some of the reasons that you would doubt, for instance, Pastor General Joseph DeKotch's recent statement about salvation by grace alone through faith alone?
if that's the only thing I had to go on, it would look to me like that they may be teaching a biblical salvation by grace through faith. But when you see the other material that's still coming out, and when you talk to local members, it's definitely not trickling down to the local ranks, I don't believe. As late as their January, February Good News magazine, they compared salvation to a 747 taking off. And they said when it gets to a certain point on the runway, it's a point of no return. And if you try to stop the airplane at that point, it's too late and you'll face a fiery crash. And they say that that point in the believer's life, in the member of the Worldwide Church of God's life, is baptism and the laying on of hands in this article. They then give two examples in the article of how a person can turn back after baptism. The two examples they list are cheating on one's tithing or working a little on Saturday. So it would seem to me like as late as January, February of 1990, they're still teaching in their publications for their members, they're teaching what is very clearly works salvation. Now, it could be that they've changed their mind on this last week or last month, and if so, that's very good, and it's another step perhaps toward Christianity. But I suggest caution at this point, and that we weigh all the statements made by the church to see if this is really going to be their position.
As we look at the Christian response to the apparent changes in worldwide Church of God doctrine at this time, what are your recommendations for Christians? Obviously, we have to leave the door open a bit to say, if you are really serious and if you are willing to accept Orthodox doctrine, we will stop calling you a cult. But what should we do?
Well, we do need to be cautious at this time, but also I think it's a time of opportunity. I've seen members of the Worldwide Church of God be much more open in the last two or three years, or since the death of Mr. Armstrong, actually, than they used to be. It used to be a very closed society. It used to be almost impossible to develop any kind of relationship with someone who was in the church because it was so so closed. We're seeing some of these doors come open. We're seeing some of these walls come down. And so it's a good time to develop some dialogue. I think Christians need to be concerned a little bit about terminology differences, knowing that when a member of the Worldwide Church of God says they believe in the Godhead, or they may be meaning something a little bit different than the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so not just take their words at face value. Ask for definitions. What do you mean when you say born again, if you've been born again? What do you mean by that? Do you right now have eternal life? That would be a good kind of question. So it's a good time for dialogue. It's a good time for some open doors and some walls to come down. But at the same time, we need to be to exercise caution. And when someone says something, we need to remember that what they mean by that term and what we mean by that term may be two different things. And we may be miscommunicating if we don't ask for some definitions.
One final note of importance is that the Worldwide Church has pulled from publication the book Mystery of the Ages, which was kind of the life's work of Herbert W. Armstrong. What does that tell us at this point?
Well, spokesmen from headquarters are saying that there's errors in the book, which was the crowning achievement of Mr. Armstrong's life. And although I'm happy that they're willing to review his teachings and even bold enough to say that some of his teachings were wrong, in our mind it kind of just verifies everything we're trying to say. Mr. Armstrong claimed for many years of his life to be God's apostle. When someone makes a claim like that, there's really only two possibilities. He's either a true apostle or a false apostle. If, as it seems that the Worldwide Church is now admitting, that he taught false doctrine or taught things that weren't true as God's apostle and as the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, then the entire foundation that the Worldwide Church of God was built upon would then be questioned. And so I'm happy to see some of the changes, but at the same time I think this points to the very fact that the Worldwide Church of God is not God's only true church, as it has claimed for many years.
Well, I'm sure one recommendation we could make to all of our listeners, along with what you've already said, James, is we need to pray at this time that there will be a great opening and a great awakening within the Worldwide Church of God, and that more dialogue will happen and that we'll see many people come to a knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
Joining us now is Michael Snyder, the Assistant Director of Public Affairs for the Worldwide Church of God. Michael, I want to thank you for agreeing to speak with us today.
It's our pleasure, Bob. We'd be happy to talk to anybody anytime.
Now, I take it that you would agree that there have been significant doctrinal differences between what has been known as Orthodox Christianity and your organization over the years.
Well, I would say that any organization goes through a maturing process, including religion. We have to all come to a better understanding as time passes and better scholarship becomes available to us. And I would characterize the church as having, meaning the Worldwide Church of God, has always had the attitude of attempting to uncover and understand as much of the truth as we possibly can from the Bible. And I would say that recently there have been a number of clarifications and certain major alterations of doctrine and changes to reflect more of a biblical understanding.
Can you give us an example of some of those changes to which you're referring?
Well, sometimes, too, I would think that some people have misunderstood what the church has said based on some unfortunate, perhaps clumsy statements made by various officials. The church has recently reemphasized the central position of Jesus Christ in our gospel, in the gospel as revealed in the Bible, and his role in each individual's lives in bringing about salvation and bringing a fuller Christian life to an individual. Smaller changes that have occurred that are of less issue are changes in makeup and in the celebration of birthdays. The church has withdrawn from taking positions on those topics. A major reclarification occurred a couple of years ago as well in our understanding of healing, divine healing, and also in the application of medical practice. The church encourages that all members should seek appropriate medical attention from qualified physicians and reemphasize this need. In prior years, this was always permitted, but never emphasized in the way that it is now.
Now, you apparently told James Walker of Watchman Fellowship that all material put out by your organization is undergoing a doctrinal review and that there is nothing which is untouchable. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. In 1986, the new pastor general of the church, Joseph DeConte, decreed that all doctrinal material, literature, publications, broadcasts, would be brought under review and checked for accuracy, checked for updated information, and otherwise rigorously scrutinized. This included every single publication of the church and resulted in the previous major work of the church, Mystery of the Ages, being pulled from circulation permanently.
Now, mentioning Mystery of the Ages, that perhaps was the crowning work of Herbert Armstrong's life. What were the problems with that work?
Well, essentially, the work was a compilation of several other previously published articles and books that Mr. Armstrong had put together and did not represent, as the church felt later, a accurate presentation of church doctrines and beliefs. Since it came from several different publications, the church did not feel that it represented a concurrent stream of thought that the church currently held. So as a consequence, it was pulled from circulation. It may appear in a greatly revised format, but that's under discussion and probably won't be dealt with for several months or even years.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael. Did Herbert Armstrong ever teach false doctrine while he was pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God and, as he claimed late in life, God's apostle on earth?
I would not characterize it as such. I would say, again, you have to look at it from the standpoint, and this is the church's present view, that any organization, especially those who have such a strong personality as Mr. Armstrong, when they come to a belief on a certain topic, then they personally feel this must be proclaimed, or they feel like they have to take certain actions. And Mr. Armstrong in the 1930s did not have available to him the scholarship and the resources from a biblical point of view that the church presently has available to it today. We are committed, as Mr. Armstrong was, to making change where we find we are in error. And when such can be proved, which is why we appreciate conversations with people like Dr. Ruth Tucker and others, then we will make such changes.
You mentioned the new focus on the centrality of the person of Jesus Christ. Does the Worldwide Church of God now believe that Jesus is co-eternal and co-equal with the Father?
The church has always believed that. The unfortunate aspect has been some have confused our beliefs with those of others. We believe fully in the deity of Christ and with him being holding all the same attributes as God the Father.
All right, let me go one step further then. Does the Worldwide Church of God accept the Orthodox Christian doctrine of the Trinity?
Well, when you say Orthodox doctrine, there are many such doctrines, and we have not been able to find a single one that is congruent with everyone. We do not believe in the Trinity as such as being a closed Godhead. We do, however, believe that the Holy Spirit is God and is the power of God. But we do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a separate entity in a Trinitarian framework.
Well, Trinitarians would not say he's separate, but do you believe that he is a person?
No, we do not believe that.
So does the church still hold that each member of the Worldwide Church can become a part of the Godhead or the God family like Jesus Christ?
Well, obviously, we cannot become God as God is God because there are attributes of God that are prohibited to people who were once physical human beings, i.e. we could never be ever existent, we could never be ever living in that regard. The Church believes that we will become part of the God family and share in His glory, but we do not believe that we will become equal in that regard.
Unfortunately, Michael, because of your church's position on the Trinity, I'm sure that it's still going to be a bit of time before Orthodox Christianity takes your group off the list of cults. But I do again want to encourage you in the Doctrinal Review. I can assure you that I and probably many of our listeners will be praying for the truth to triumph among all of us. And I want to thank you again for speaking with us today.
It's our pleasure, and we certainly welcome the prayers of anyone who's listening.
That is Michael Snyder, the Assistant Director of Public Affairs for the Worldwide Church of God. Dr. Kennedy, I'd like to have you comment at this point on a couple of things we've heard. First, what is your reaction to the Worldwide Church of God's apparent shift on salvation by grace?
Well, having read the letter that has been put out to their ministers by Joseph Tkach, who is the Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, which I understand to be the highest office in that church, I must say that I was pleasantly surprised. He seems to have grasped the nature of grace and has denied the idea that we can be saved by our works, which certainly was a position that they held before. And now, as far as I could gather from what he has said in this letter, I found it to be extremely encouraging, especially because the idea of salvation, the soteriological or salvation views of a church, are at the very heart of its teachings. And so I think that this is a definite shift in their position. Now, I would like to know that this has gone beyond simply the pastors and is being proclaimed to the people, because I do also understand from those who spend their lives watching what's going on in various cults that the Worldwide Church of God has, according to them, in previous years tried to indicate to Orthodox Christians in general, and particularly to those who may have been exposing their heresies, that they were changing and were now becoming Orthodox. So and by the way, those previous changes did not make their way to their people in their pews. I hope that this is not just something staged for our benefit, but is actually indicative of the kind of preaching that is going on in their churches today. And if it is, then I would say I am very pleasantly surprised and encouraged by a very definite shift in that area.
Now, secondly, we have heard Mr. Snyder admit that the Worldwide Church of God still rejects the Orthodox Christian doctrine of the Trinity. As Christians, how should we react to this position? How serious is that rejection?
Well, we heard Mr. Snyder today say that he did not accept, or the Church did not accept, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, this, again, has been traditionally typical of almost every cult, that they say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, that he is the divine force. This is typical of Jehovah's Witnesses and other cultists. And therefore, they apparently have not come all of the way out of the cultic views of the Trinity to a full Orthodox and biblical view. Now, the Bible does teach that the Holy Spirit is a person. By the way, in this paper on the Trinity, the personality or personhood of the Holy Spirit is never discussed. They state that they hold to the full deity or divinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they never discuss whether or not the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, it would be, of course, contradictory to hold to his full divinity and then make him simply into a force or an influence of some sort, as Jehovah's Witnesses do. This is also not something which is merely a theological nicety that theologians have come up with in their hair-splitting. And by the way, these kinds of things, they say that they are not going to consider a part of their view of the Trinity, but this is something taught in the Bible. What is the essence of personhood? The definition of the soul is that it has mind, heart, and will, or intellect, emotion, and volition. that these are the things which make us persons. A human being has intellect, he has emotion, and he has volition. He can think, he can feel, he can will. Now the Bible clearly teaches all three of these things concerning the Holy Spirit. For example, the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures that he is grieved, that he testifies, he teaches, he speaks, he was lied to, he was tested, he is a witness, he tells, he calls, he sends, things seem good to him or not. He can hinder, he warns, he groans, he helps. And these and other indications show that the Holy Spirit thinks, wills, and feels, and therefore very clearly is a person. To predicate these things of a force like electricity or gravity or any other kind of force would be absolute nonsense. No mere force does any of these things, only a person does them all. And so the Bible clearly teaches, and historic Orthodox Christianity has clearly held, that the Holy Spirit not only is divine, but also is a person, a divine person like the Father, who is also a spirit and a person as well, but not corporeal as the Son was, who assumed a human body. So, to sum up, let me say that I am very encouraged by the changes which I see are taking place, and we still hold some reservations and hope that God will lead them into a full acceptance of the nature of the Trinity, because this is a crucial matter. God is at the very heart of the Bible. The Bible is about God and of his revelation of himself to us and what he, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have done for us. The Father has created us, the Son has redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit regenerates and sanctifies us. This is essentially the economy or the economic nature of the Trinity as it is described by theologians. And so I'm encouraged, and we wait expectantly to see further developments.
And for those who are wondering about the paper to which Dr. Kennedy was referring in his remarks, the Worldwide Church of God has sent us several documents, including what is apparently a draft of their new doctrinal statement on the Trinity. According to Mr. Snyder, we are apparently the first to see this document. Several of the professors from Knox Seminary here in Fort Lauderdale have reviewed it, and we hope to dialogue with Snyder and Joseph DeKotch on what we perceive as its shortcomings. I do hope you will join us in prayer for the changes in the Worldwide Church of God. It's similar to our feelings when the Soviet Union began Glasnost. We hope greatly, but remain cautious until we see some definite and lasting signs of great change. This is Bob Allen for Dr. James Kennedy. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Truths That Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Views expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Dr. D. James Kennedy, Coral Ridge Ministries, or this station.